Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I am your host, Chantel, and I have the wonderful special guest, my sister cousin, Diana, with me.
A.K.A.
Annabelle.
Pure evil.
So I felt like for this episode, I needed someone mega evil, and Maria's super sweet. I mean, she has a mean side, which is why we get along so well. But I needed pure evil. So my cousin is so evil, I started calling her Annabelle when The Conjuring came out because I feel like her mean butt deserves to be in, well, not deserves, but she really should be in a glass case that's locked away with a absolutely do not open sign taped to the front.
Note, I look nothing like Annabelle.
You look exactly like her with your yarn hair.
And I learned all my evil from you, my dear.
True story. So anyway, you guys, super excited to do this episode. And we have a special friend of the show, Jesse, that asked for this episode, which is the nightmares. And we're also going to incorporate sleep paralysis because why the F not? Mm-hmm. Why not? So we're just going to dive in because, you know, who hasn't had a damn nightmare?
True dat.
Right. So let's get into the stuff of it, like the guts. So what the hell is a nightmare? Well, everybody knows. Everybody's had a bad dream, a nightmare, and you are scared. You wake up like your heart is pounding. Sometimes you're, you know, fighting somebody or you're running from someone or you're paralyzed in your dream and you can't run fast enough or at all, or you're trying to yell and you have no voice. Like, have you had that?
Yes. It's terrifying.
It is, right?
And I read that it's more common in girls.
Yes.
Which sucks.
You know, and I was like, listen, like, women don't have enough crap to deal with, you know?
Thank you.
I'm like, come on, tampons and menopause.
Just add something else to the list.
Right.
It's because, like, we're strong enough to handle it. That's why.
That's a bunch of crap. I don't want to hear it. Whatevs. Anyway, so a nightmare. A nightmare. I mean, this is like, I'm just going to go based off of my own experiences. There are periods of time when I have, not like every night necessarily, but it's like sometimes a couple nights in a row. Other times it's like a few in a week. And it'll be like that for like a couple weeks or something. And then I'm done with it for a while. But it puts me in a place where I'm afraid to sleep.
You got it bad.
Right? No, and it doesn't happen very often. It's every now and then. But it's still like, oh my God, it freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
Freaks me out. So, nightmares. You want to tell us about nightmares?
I'm sure that I've had a million, but there is one that I will never forget. So one of my biggest fears is being raped. It's like the scariest fear ever. And I watched this movie called Gamer one time, and there was this character named Rick Rape. And he was so creepy. He was like this sleazy guy, and he would walk up to you and start sniffing you really yes, it was just like, it made your skin crawl. I don't think
disgusting.
I finished the movie. He creeps me out deeply. So I was pregnant, and I was at my aunt's house. Yes, Cecilia was asleep, and she was in the room with me. And you know, you do not wake her up.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Oh, God.
So I don't know what was scarier, the nightmare or the fact that I woke her up. But in the nightmare, I was pregnant, and I was close to delivery. And I was at one of my other aunt's house, and we were all sitting at a round table. It was you, me, my mom, and all three of my aunts. And it truly was a dark and stormy night that night. And I mean, the wind was howling. It was a really
like,
angry.
This is in your dream.
This was in my dream. It was an angry storm outside.
I mean,
outside.
Because I wasn't there.
Well, all of a sudden, like, we were just talking, and then we all held hands and started praying, and it almost sounded like, I don't know, it was in Spanish and I didn't understand it, but we all knew what we were saying. It was weird.
Which aside, you guys, because she is full on Dominican.
Just had to tell that part.
Yeah, because ridiculous.
I always knew when I was in trouble. I could survive if I was in a bad situation, mm-hmm. but it's too American to feel confident to carry on a conversation. Mm-hmm. Moving on. We start praying, and I start getting really nervous, and nobody said anything, but there was just a knowing that someone had to get up and answer the door, that something was coming to the door.
What the hell?
Yes. Then out of nowhere, we all stand up at the same time and somehow...
Is this like the Yaw Yaw Sisterhood?
I didn't watch that. But somehow I was the one that had to go to the door, and
you're the most evil, so it makes sense.
This is scary to even think about. As I approached the door, it swung open from the wind, and it was like a completely black being that came right up. Like,
was it Rick Rape?
It was Rick Rape. It felt like it was Rick Rape, and like I felt it like slide up my neck and go right to my ear. And in my dream, when it said what it said next, I could feel the words like in my body, and that's what woke me up. But it slid up my neck and went right up to my ear and said, "I'm gonna get you." Yes,
that's so creepy.
And that was the moment that I woke up insanely scared, and I woke my aunt up.
With me tonight.
She was very nice, though. She was not...
She can punch you in the belly.
I thought I was going to die, but she was really nice about it. But I will never forget that. And I still can feel, like, that in my ear, those words in my ear. And it just... Ugh. So that's my worst nightmare.
That's disgusting.
I know.
I'm going to get you. Stop. That's, like, 7 days.
Oh, my God. I'm starting to get hot.
So I don't have an exact recurring dream. Like, you know, some people are like, oh, I have this recurring nightmare, or, you know, even a regular dream, but it's not a recurring exact dream. But from the time I was young, I've had dreams here and there where it's, and it might be like a few times a year or something. And it's paranormal in that there's someone or several someones in my space, and I can't see them, but I can feel them, and I know they're around. And that's what scares me the most, is that I cannot pinpoint where they are or what they look like or anything. So I imagine the worst, and in my nightmares they will touch me. That, like, I'll see my, I in like a dream or something, I was like standing in front of a mirror, and suddenly I could see my hair moving, like they were pulling my hair and making, and I was so freaking freaked out. Oh my gosh. So it's always that kind of thing, or they'll move curtains, or they'll move. So it's that, like, they're making their presence known, but doing it in the creepiest way, because they know that that's what scares me. Oh my gosh. And so I always wake up just like heart pounding in my throat, and I'm like, oh my God, everyone's asleep. and then like, you know, you wake up from a nightmare and you're the only one that's awake in the house, and it's still like you have hours to go before you have to be awake. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then you're like, I really need to go back to sleep, but I'm so scared to fall asleep again, because I might go right back into that dream, which has happened to me a few times.
I have to watch cartoons or read the Bible.
Really?
Something, anything that is just way on the good side or the happy side.
I mean, I don't know. I think I've kind of gotten to a place where I can wake up from those dreams now. And actually, as I've done like the Reiki classes and stuff, I've reached a point in the last like couple of years where in my dreams, I fight back. And I'm actually effective now, where before I would try to fight back and I would try to pray out loud and call on God and whatever, and I had no voice.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it was so frustrating. And in my, like, I am screaming, trying to, you know, call out God's name or whatever, because I'm like, oh, that'll definitely stop this. Mm-hmm. And I have no voice.
That's terrifying.
Right?
Oh, I've had ones where I'm trying to fight and I'm punching as hard as I can.
Yeah.
And it's nothing.
Yeah.
It's like punching the air. Right. And I get really, really upset and lose all of my energy trying to punch.
And I'm like, God, I got to hit the gym tomorrow. This is bad.
I'm weak.
I know. Even in my dreams, I'm pathetic.
Lame.
So, yeah, it's super frustrating. So in the last couple of years, I have found that I am fighting back, and it's actually effective now. So there are symbols that we learned in our Reiki classes that are for protection, some of them. And so I've had dreams now where I am like running. There was one, like I remember little bits and pieces, but it's like I was running from something, or I knew something was following close behind me. God, I'm trying to remember. I don't know. But It was like a little boy, I think. But I knew that he was evil. Like, he was not who he appeared to be.
And evil little kids are right? so scary.
Right.
They're not supposed little kid to be ghosts evil. Or,
oh, God. Ugh. So I turned and faced him, and I did the symbol, and I said the, you know, the chant that goes with it out loud. And there's a, you know, a part of the symbol that you kind of, like, you push forward with your palm, like, facing out. And I did that, and I did it so hard. Like, I put my soul into that crap and, like, did it so hard that it, like, launched him backwards. And in even in my dream, I felt so effing victorious. I was like, yes, I knocked his ass out.
Right on.
I was so excited. So it's nice to be there where I do feel more empowered. And but it's those dreams. It's the ones. I mean, I don't know. I don't know that I've actually had. I can't think of one, but I don't know that I actually have had dreams where, like, a person is chasing me. Oh, I did have this one. Do you remember Scooby-Doo?
Mm-hmm.
The episode where they're at the carnival and it's, like, that bluish robot that's, like, chasing them?
Sure.
You don't remember. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to show
Not
you.
At all.
So I had this dream when I was, like, I don't know, 19. That my best friend and I were being chased by that robot, but he was, like, hot pink.
Oh, my God.
And I like, I was so afraid.
It
so
doesn't
afraid.
Sound like a nightmare at all.
No. And I woke up and I was scared, but I was like, did I seriously have a dream? Like, this, it was a nightmare. Like, did I seriously have a dream that this thing was hot pink and I was scared of it? Like, in no universe should that be okay.
Mm.
It just, I haven't had a nightmare in a long time. And I feel like now I'm tempting things. But
tonight is the night.
No, no.
I will be in your dreams, ma'am.
No.
I'll be chasing you with a
fork.
I'm
going to wake you up.
Look, you lost your scary card.
Why?
You were afraid of a pink robot.
Oh, I know. No, he was hot pink.
I fear you not.
Get it right. He was hot pink. Oh, my God. Anyway, so there are a lot of different things that can bring on a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So it could really be, and they say this about the dreams, about anyone's dreams. It's like your brain trying to process what you encountered that day or something that you're dealing with, like some stress in your life. It could be something traumatic that you experienced. It could be, I mean, all kinds of different things. It could be that you're sick. So your body's just jacked up on the inside. I mean, like you have the flu or some crap. It could be medication that you're on. It could be that you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, as my mom likes to say.
Drank.
Alcohol. So, I mean, it could be a lot of different things. So that is something to consider as well. It doesn't mean that you're haunted. It doesn't mean you have some attachment or some crap.
They also say sometimes if you eat too late at night, it can cause.
Yes.
So I don't know if you remember when I'm sure I told you my daughter was having nightmares all the time. That was something else I found out in the research, that it's also common in kids 10 and under. And mm-hmm. she would wake up screaming, and this would be a couple of times a week. And it was so bad that I had a sleep study done on her. And the process of setting up the sleep study was scary on its own because she's just a little girl. And they did the probes on her head and all these wires. But it came back pretty normal. And they said that was the recommendation. Don't let her eat or drink anything after 8 p.m. because that can induce nightmares.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that.
It seems like such an odd correlation to me.
No, I've heard that. And actually, like, we've heard that since we were kids.
I remember
the aunts saying that.
The aunts.
Don't say it. Don't
I like
eat
that.
Too late.
They are a committee.
Mm-hmm. They are a committee.
The aunts.
They are. They're like a council.
Yes,
the
indeed.
Council.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
They're like the collective oracle. The aunts. Yes. Do you remember when Andrew was little?
Mm-hmm.
So Andrew is one of my brothers. And when he was little, like little, like 2, 3?
I'm thinking like 4.
So somewhere between 2 and 4.
Okay.
He had to be of like talking age, and he didn't start talking till a little later. So I think it was like, yeah, between 2 and 4. In any event, he used to have night terrors. And that's like, I didn't even research night terrors, and I should have, but this is like most of our topics. Like, we just scrape the surface and then we will come back and revisit this stuff. and dive a little deeper. So fear not, friends, fear not. But my little brother used to have night terrors, and he would legit tell my mom as best as he could in his, you know, little person vocabulary about the witch and the talkers. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
It was creepy as
creepy.
Oh my God. And it was like something about the talkers wouldn't let him sleep because they were like in his room every night damn near. And I don't remember all the details, and I wish I had thought to ask my mom about this before we recorded, but you know, whatever. We'll hit it again. It's fine.
I mean, the fact that saying the talkers is so descriptive, right? And the fact that he was that little,
I know,
is chilling.
Right. And that's like all he could have come up with, I guess, or I don't know that that's how they introduced themselves. I think it was just, he's like,
the some action people are talking
is,
to me.
Yeah, the action they're not is talking.
Supposed to be. Yeah.
Right. I am trying to sleep, fools. So yeah, that went on a lot, a lot. And then when he was a little bit older, it was like, I don't know, 6, 7. I mean, it wasn't a ton older. There was a time, and he was like wide awake, and he was also with the talkers and stuff, but it's like he would have these ridiculous nightmares. I mean, just like you said with, you know, tiny cousin. Wake up screaming, like screaming, cold sweat, the whole, you know, the gamut. And there was a time he was like wide awake. They were downstairs and he said something to my mom, like, Mom, did you see them? And she said, see who? And she said, the talkers. And she said, what? Where are they? And he said, over there. And he pointed to the downstairs bathroom. The door was open. And he, I think, had said to her that they were standing by the towel rack.
Sheesh.
Right? I was like, what? So then she like tried to get more info out of him, and like a kid, like he had freaking moved on to something else. So, but I think I want to ask her if she has asked him about the talkers.
I know.
I feel like she has a few times since he's gotten older and he has no memory.
Thank goodness.
I know.
That would mess me up if I had those experiences, yes, and could remember.
Yes.
We would have moved out.
And I think there was, oh God, I gotta have her on. Like, she has a lot of good stories. And in that house, for some reason, so much activity in that house. And this is like pre our grandmother passing away.
No, I can totally vouch for that. I mean, not before our grandmother left, but the time when I lived there, right after I had my daughter, or even the month before, I was still pregnant, and I would just keep the door closed. Sometimes I would like to keep the door open so I didn't get hot while I was sleeping, but I would always hear things, and it was too much to say, oh, the house is settling.
I know,
so I just closed the door, and I had to have the fan on because it was noise and I couldn't hear anything else. But inside that room, I was good. But if I opened that door, there were noises.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I have house sat for my parents a few times, like spent the weekend because of the dogs and whatever. And unless, like, I think I did it alone a couple times and I didn't stay the night, I would, like, I worked it out because I was like, hell no, I'm not saying, but I would not sleep well. It just, like, I wouldn't. And it's usually over a weekend, so it's like Friday, Saturday, you know, so by the time Sunday comes, or, you know, if it was like a 3-day type of thing, by the third night, I was so tired that I would just pass out. But it's not like, oh, I'm just going to curl up and go to sleep. It was not that at all. But it's always like some kind of something.
Well, I have never felt afraid over there. I will say that. But I'm really good at making excuses. It just always felt like, it always sounded like somebody had woken up and came downstairs and was doing something in the kitchen, or had walked to the living room to grab something, or whatever. That's just what it sounded like. It was never anything aggressive or.
But in your case, and I know we like super veered off the nightmares. We'll be right back. But in your case, that was after our grandmother had passed. And that's what she would do. Our grandma had insomnia. And so the nights that she couldn't sleep, and she would spend like days at my parents' house. And she would, you know, like, she just loved it. She would go over there and she would clean and organize stuff and then get mad at my mom.
Redecorate.
She's like, don't move that. You know, my mom's house, legit. And then she's like, no, don't touch that. So, but she, when she couldn't sleep, she would be up at night quietly like mopping floors or, you know, hanging out in the living room doing her little crossword puzzles or whatever. So it makes sense that you would hear.
I never thought about that. That's a really nice thought mm-hmm. that she could have just been visiting.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a lot of stuff that goes on in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And our grandmother was just like a kitchen person, mm-hmm. always cooking and doing something in the kitchen. So a lot of the activity that's taken place since she has gone has been in the kitchen. And it was, remember, for the longest time, it was the trash can.
Vaguely.
It was the lid. So my parents, their trash can has that swivel lid mm-hmm. where you push it down in the front or, you know, the
foot pedal and it pops open.
Mm-mm. It doesn't have a foot pedal. It's just the swinging top.
Oh, yeah.
So you push down, you know, you kind of like push your hand down and throw your stuff down and, you know, it'll pop back up on its own. And it's just one of those things. It's a distinct sound. You hear it and you're like, oh, that's a trash can. And for the longest time, and I have to ask my mom if it still happens. I want to say it does, just not as often. But for the longest time after my grandma passed away, it happened multiple times every single day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Like right after?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Or it was like the latch on the pantry door or mm-hmm. anyway, we've gone way off topic, but
circling back.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes on there, but yeah, my little brother with the night terrors and the talkers and the witch, man, I wish I had asked my mom. I wish I had thought to ask her about this stuff because it was creepy stuff, but super intriguing.
How creepy slash cool would it have been if Andrew ever drew the witch?
I know.
And Thea produced a picture.
Oh my god. And we like trace it back.
It would not be accurate.
How cool. But he's like suffering. We're like, do it again.
What did you see? Andrew, shake him. Remember.
That's what I feel like doing with little kids when they like lose interest and they run off to something else. I'm like, no.
I'm not done with you.
We had a good thing. It really pisses me off. So anyway, back to the topic at hand. So nightmares, like, you know, it's just a sleep thing. And everybody dreams, even if they think they don't. Sometimes you just don't remember your dreams. Most time, I mean, I kind of go through phases where I do remember. And I'll remember, like, in great detail. And then there's phases where I'm like, oh, I remember pieces. And other times where I'm like, I'm sure I had a dream, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And most times, like, 90% of the time, I remember bits and pieces. And then that's it.
Yeah.
So.
That's frustrating.
I know.
Especially when it's a really good dream or you feel like there's something that was a message. And that's frustrating.
Oh, here's a dream I had. It just came to me. So, our grandmother was very much of the belief that you fear the living, not the dead. Do you remember her saying that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And she had a lot of stories, a lot of creepy stories. And in the house that she lived in before she had passed away, I remember her telling me stuff like she heard hangers moving in the closet. I was like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. I want to cuss so bad. I really do, because this just gets me going. So she would say things like that, like, you know, but it's the living you have to fear, not the dead. The dead, you know, they're dead.
Was she saying it in Spanish?
Yes.
Well, there we go.
Yes. So she was a Jehovah's Witness, like, most of her life. And in that religion, it's believed that when you die, you die. You don't go on to anything. Mm-hmm. You are just...
stay in the dirt.
Buried or cremated or whatever until, you know, God comes and resurrects and judges and whatever. But at the same time, because she had history under her belt, you know, she had years in her life where she was not a Jehovah's Witness. She was, you know, other religions that she had practiced, and she had other experiences, like, you know, when the hangers and stuff moved in her closet. And that's just off the top of my head that I can remember. But there were a lot of other things. I know that she said that because it was part of her religion. But I know that she believed there was more because of life experience. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy because when I came along, you know, to grace the world with my presence... And if you guys hear any weird noises in the back, it's because Huey's in the room with us and He is out cold right now.
Snoring.
Yeah. So just to get off topic, he had a big day. We had a vet visit today, and it's just like the annual checkup. And usually, you know, I think I've said this on the show before, Huey is aggressive. Have I said that on the show?
I think so.
Yeah. So he's aggressive, and not aggressive just for the hell of it. It's aggressive when I'm around because he's mega protective of me. Mm-hmm. So when we go and do things like go to the vet, God, it's exhausting. Because when I, there he goes. Mm-hmm. The mic is picking it up because I can hear it in my headphones, but I don't know if it's going to come through on the recording. Like, he is out, you guys. I wish this was like on video because he looks so delicious right now. I just want to curl up next to him. He is so yummy. Anyway, so when we go to the vet, this guy is aggressive. Like, we walk into the lobby or the waiting area. If people are in there, he is like barking and growling. Like, it's just trying to come out of the harness to maul somebody. And they quickly, as fast as they can, get him on the scale and take him back into a room. So now, there was a vet I was seeing prior to the one I have now that was really great. And, you know, they would clear the lobby. They would clear the back area. I mean, it was like a, anybody back here? Clear. All right, come through. Mm-hmm. Like, it was that thing. So now with this other vet, it is, there are a lot more people that go there. So when I check in, I now leave them in the car, windows partially down. I go check in, and then when they're ready for us, they send a tech out. Mm-hmm. And the last time I went, the tech just said, hey, I'll just take them. So she took one at a time, took them in, did what she had to do, brought them back and swapped out. Yeah, it was perfect. So when I'm not present, he is fantastic. It's great. Like, he's like, oh, I'm off duty. It's good. Like, I can just be a dog. So today I took them and I was by myself. I went, ran inside, checked in, came back to the car. The tech came out and she's like, all right, we're ready. And I was like, is there anybody in the lobby? She said, no, there's someone sitting in there, but she doesn't have her dog with her. I said, all right. And she goes, but a car did just pull up. So let's hurry and get inside. So we quickly ran in and Huey went on the scale. So I was standing there with Hennessy. Hennessy's a nervous wreck. So she pooped on the floor. It was wonderful. Oh, so because it was the annual, they were going to do the heartworm test, which you got to do like a fecal test. Mm-hmm. So the tech's like, well, guess we don't have to get that, you know, the
scoop it right on off yeah, the floor.
We'll just get it on the floor. So, you know, all this to say, we're in the room. He was a dream. Like, there were two techs that helped out today in addition to the vet, the doctor, and the techs, like, they were loving on him. He kissed one of them. Like, they could not stop saying, oh my God, he's such a good boy. He's so sweet. I was like, he is my delicious, sweet boy.
I'm so proud of him.
I know.
And now he's knocked out.
Now he's knocked out. He had a big afternoon.
It took a lot of effort to not try to maul someone.
You should know.
I taught him well.
You're just as evil. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so if you guys hear noise, it's Huey sound asleep in here because, you know, it's hard being a nice boy. I don't know where I was before that.
We were talking about
yeah,
fear the dead.
Right. I mean, so
fear the living, fear the not living, the dead. Not
so because of that, so when I came along, my grandma was already part of the Jehovah's Witness religion. Mm-hmm. And so some of the stuff in my upbringing was creepy when I was young. It's still creepy to me now. Like, I don't know. I won't get into that right now. Anyway. So I grew up with this thing of, you know, when you die, you die. There's no such thing as ghosts. Don't be afraid of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But we all know that I used to see stuff. I used to hear stuff. I used to feel stuff. I used to all that. So it was very confusing. And I knew, I was like, that's, you know, I call BS. Mm-hmm. It's not right. That's not true.
I mean, this is going to sound really evil, hence my name, but I was really glad it was happening to you and not me. Mm-hmm, I heard about it and I'm like, oh my God, I hope that doesn't happen to me. I just remember coming down the stairs one day and I've never seen you look afraid. And Theodora was sitting on a chair and you were sitting on the floor in front of her and she was like reading my little book of Bible stories or something. And you just looked so scared. And I had never seen, I didn't know what was going on.
When was that?
That was in Coronado in the apartment. Mm. Buddy was still around. I don't remember. much else, but I just remember getting back upstairs really quick because mm-hmm. whatever was going on, I didn't want any part of it.
Hmm. I don't.
But that was after. That was well after the Ouija board activity.
Not really, because that was still like teen years.
Did anything ever happen in that apartment that you remember?
I don't really remember. Whatever happened, it must not have been like super traumatic. I do remember there was this. It's one of the experiences that I remember vividly where I heard someone. It was so clear. So clear. That's like one of the first memories I have of hearing a voice so clearly. So I was asleep. Like I had an alarm set for school. And when my alarm would go off, like the radio would play and whatever, like, you know, it wasn't a freaking iPhone and crap. Mm-hmm. Not so fancy crap. Because this is like late 90s or whenever it was. So in any event, so I'm asleep and I don't know if my alarm didn't go off or if it did and I turned it off and I was like out cold. And then I heard somebody say, "Chantel, it's time to get up."
It was me. I was under your bed.
And I would have been kicked the crap out of you. So I bolt, like sat like straight, ramrod straight in the bed. And I'm looking around because it's like somebody was in my face and mm-hmm. said this to me. And I sit up and I'm looking around.
That gave me chills.
And I was so like, I was so frozen. I'm like, where the hell did that come from?
It made you come alive.
Yes, it did. Like it was not like, you know, face kisses or it was just,
yeah. Get up now.
Yes. So I will never, ever, ever forget that. So that is, I mean, off the top of my head, it's the first time I remember a voice so clear, like crystal clear. And it wasn't my voice. It wasn't a voice I recognized. Hmm. But it was, yeah. So, I mean, that I remember. I mean, I don't know. I just kind of always had experiences. Nothing traumatic like at the condo with a Ouija board. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever like that to that level. Yeah. Stuff that scares me, but I don't know.
Well, I have a good... Wait, would you call that, you know, hearing that, would you call that clairaudience? Mm-hmm. Cool. I learned that from your last episode.
I hope not, because the last episode was...
Ish. It was one of them. I'm up to date, guys. No, seriously, I'm the number one fan. And any of you out there who think you are, you have been knocked off the throne.
Oh, God.
Just for the record.
See how aggressive she is, you guys? Jesus.
Conjuring up my good side, I have a positive sleep paralysis experience. So my grandmother, after she passed, I moved to another state by myself and I was just kind of reckless with my life. And I had inherited...
Did she slap you?
In essence. I had inherited some of her belongings and there were these, like the eye of the oven, the covers that go over them. Mm-hmm. There were metal ones and, you know, they weren't completely even. So if you pushed one side, the other side would mm-hmm. hit, whatever. And I had just finished cleaning my apartment, like deep clean, and I was tired and I lay down on the couch just to rest my body a little bit. And I was facing the sliding doors of the balcony. I didn't even realize I fell asleep, but I just remember feeling like a cold wind and thinking to myself, oh, let me get up and close that door. And I couldn't. And I realized I must be falling asleep. I can't get up. And then I started hearing like the dishes. I had just cleaned the dishes and they were in the drying rack. And I kept hearing the dishes kind of clink a little bit. And I'm thinking that breeze is not that strong. You know, it's not even windy outside. Anyway, I heard the dishes clanking and the oven covers kind of moving like they were vibrating on the stove. I didn't know what was going on, but I didn't know if I was dreaming or what, but I had this vision of my grandmother. She was telling me, you need to stop. Think about your husband. Think about your kids. And I was not married. I was not even dreaming of having a kid. But when I woke up, I was like in tears. And I don't think it was that long that I was on the couch. but it was very real and it was definitely her. Mm-hmm. I saw her and it was crazy. And I'd never experienced anything like that before. 6 months later, wasn't planning to get pregnant. I get pregnant with my daughter, move here, just got married. So I kind of, from that point, knew that I had to turn my life around. Mm-hmm. So that was a really good experience. She came
from the great beyond to slap you away else.
Yeah, and she still had power. Mm-hmm. I was not going to disobey her.
That wasn't even a nightmare.
But it was sleep paralysis. I couldn't get up off the couch.
I feel like you were full on asleep.
And I was paralyzed.
Oh my God, I wish you guys could have just seen her face.
You do this to me all the time. You're so quick-witted, and I'm just stuck. And you just enjoy that look. So when I finally get you, which is rare, and Theodora can relate to this, it is the biggest victory of my life.
It's like my nightmare victory when I'm like sending someone right through the wall to another galaxy. Oh God. Oh God. That was funny. All right. So let's get back to the topic.
Okay. Moving on.
We're all over the place. We're all over the place. Because this is just a fun topic.
I know. It's weird because I forget that we're doing a podcast and I'm just talking to you and
see?
We trail off.
I know. So you guys, like, we've talked about this for a long time. Like, she really is a huge fan of the show, which I
number one
really appreciate, which I super appreciate because, I mean, even if, like, you're the only listener, I'm super happy we have a listener. So she really is a big fan and we have talked about the show for so long and she is obviously a lot more afraid than I am.
Oh yes.
To cover some of these subjects, like one of the ones you talked about maybe doing was the Ouija board one.
No ma'am.
And then you in the end she was like, so no, before I went to Houston this second time, she had actually said, fine, I'm gonna do it, let's do the Ouija board one. And then I had to go. We didn't do it. And so I know she was like, hell yes, I did not have to do that crap. Mm-hmm. So when I came back and we talked about doing some episodes together, she's like, I'm not doing the Ouija board.
No. Like,
Jesus, calm down.
Not at all. Listen, while I was doing the research, it was voodoo and the Ouija board.
Oh, yeah.
As I'm doing the research, I'm getting so scared. And I'm just thinking to myself, I shouldn't be reading this. Am I inviting something by showing curiosity? I had some written down notes and I'm pretty sure I shredded them. It's not a good situation. But yes, I was super relieved that we did not do that one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Okay. So you guys know what a nightmare is. I mean, it typically, for whatever reason, like it tends to happen in like one of the later phases of the REM sleep you're in. Because you have like several phases of REM sleep. And as you go into REM, they become longer and longer. Like the first one is like, I don't know, 10 minutes. And then you come out, it's like 20 minutes. And so I think the last one, which is the deepest one, is like a couple of hours. And that tends to be the phase where the nightmare strikes on a dark and stormy night. So, you know, we talked about some of the things that can cause the nightmares, such as, you know, don't swim within 30 minutes of eating.
I'm just kidding. I'm paying attention.
So how do you treat nightmares? Well, I mean, it really depends on what's causing them. And can you actually figure out what is causing them? You can. I know you can, but sometimes it's difficult. And it's, you know, if it's like in baby cousin's case where it's, you know, don't feed it after midnight, you know, like a gremlin. Did that actually help?
A little. She talks a lot. And most of the time, I don't know what she's talking about. None of it makes sense. It's English, and that's about all I can tell you.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say another language.
Oh, like, no. We would have. Ooh,
you know what? This is not a nightmare, but tell about the time you found her where she wasn't supposed to
be.
Oh
my God.
Okay, but you have to be descriptive. You have to be descriptive. You guys, this is...
I tried to block it out.
I know this is off topic, but this one is creepy.
Okay, well, she is a petite little thing.
She is. She's what? She's going to be six.
She's going to be six in May, mm-hmm. And that blows super my mind. Delicious. But even on the phone, she still sounds like a little baby. Very articulate, but she has like a tiny little baby voice. She does.
Yeah, so like imagine...
She's like a chipmunk.
She's not girly.
No.
But she looks and sounds girly.
Yes.
She, petite. Like, her personality is not girly at all, but she looks and sounds like a squeaky little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for the sake of the show, we're going to call her Peabody, which is what I call her.
Yes.
That is not her real name, but I've called her Peabody since she was a teeny baby.
Peabody, aka Peasy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this little thing often scares the crap out of us, mm-hmm. because she walks so quietly because she's so small, mm-hmm. her little feet making no noise. And then out of nowhere, she's standing next to you while we're in the living room with no lights on, watching TV, and her hair is crazy and she doesn't say anything. And we get so pissed off. We're like, don't do that.
It was out of fear.
No, but sometimes she's either half asleep or afraid for us to know that she's up out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'll sneak behind the bar area and just stand on the side of the dining room table. And she's shorter than the chairs. So you see her immediately. And then you look up and she's just there. And
okay, so yeah, I'm going to set the scene for you guys. Here's the layout of the house. And I'm just going to start from the living room. If you're sitting in the living room on the couch, immediately ahead of you is the door to the master bedroom. If you look to the right, it's the dining room, the kitchen, which is kind of like open concept. You can see all of it. And just to the left of them and along the wall of the master bedroom is a little hallway. And then it becomes the next wing, which is where Peabody's room is.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that layout makes sense so you guys understand this story.
Yeah. So if you go past, you know, to the entrance of the kitchen, to the left is the hallway, straight ahead is Peabody's room, then my son's room, and then the guest room.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and they're all in one wing together.
Yes. Those three are all in one wing. At the end is the guest room. And one of those walls is directly on the opposite side of the master closet in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I are watching TV and never saw Peabody walk in front of the TV. In order to get to my bedroom,
mm-hmm. you would have to walk past it
right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't asleep. We weren't falling asleep during what we were watching or anything.
Yeah. And even when when there's no lights on and the TV is on, it's pretty bright.
It is. It's huge. Yeah. And you can see. Never heard anything. And I don't know if I heard something or never saw anything. I don't know if I heard something and that's what made me go in the room or what. But I must have gotten up to go to the bathroom, which is also in my room. And I saw the closet light on, and I don't like my closet. It's huge, but it's just the light is weird in there, and I just have never liked it.
And the shape is kind of weird.
The shape is weird, too. I'm getting anxiety telling this story. I get up to go to the bathroom, and I always leave the door closed to that closet because I just don't like it open, and the light off. The light is on. I go into the closet to turn it off, and what do I see? My little daughter, just the back of her. She's sitting facing the back wall of the closet.
Oh my God. And I feel like I don't remember the story very well.
It's scary. She's got her knees up to her chest and she's just holding her knees, not making a sound, facing the wall.
What the hell? Oh God.
And I called her name and I like turned her around, kind of scared of what she was going to look like. And she was sleeping.
I am mega scared for you. Get the hell out of here. She was asleep.
I'm telling you.
Wait, you told me a story, but how is all this surprising me right now? Because
you probably tried to block it out because it's scary as shit.
Oh my God. Okay, so I know I keep saying this, but I really legitimately feel like I don't remember this story very well. Because I am sorry. If I find anyone, big, small, in between, that is facing a damn wall, and they're in a place where they shouldn't be. Or even if it's, I don't care where you are, if you're just standing facing a wall, what the hell are you doing? Unless someone put you there on purpose, yes. You're in trouble.
Oh, it scares me so bad. I can't.
So do you remember when you left your room to go in the living room and watch TV, did you close your closet door?
I don't remember. I just usually keep it closed. And I saw the light on and I thought, oh, let me go turn this light off. Because my husband will go behind me and do stuff and not leave it how I left it. you know.
They're bad that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, not only was it scary finding my child like that in the closet, but wondering how the heck she got there.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really thought she just moved through the walls. If she would have walked into my room, I would have seen her. And my husband was sitting right there and he couldn't explain it either. But that night she slept with me.
No, mm-mm. I wouldn't have let her. You're like, I'm going to put you in the garage. You're doing weird That's crap.
Wrong.
You're doing weird crap. Get out of the house.
Yeah. That one still really scares me because I can't explain it.
That's mega creepy.
And I hate that closet now because of it.
And you have, so your closet is like L-shaped. You walk in and to the left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a bureau like right there in the front. Like when you first walk in, you see the bureau in front of you?
Mm-mm.
Or is it a little ways down?
No, I don't have that in there anymore.
No, you don't. Mm-mm. Was it in there when she was in there?
Yes, it was.
Was she sitting next to it?
No. It's just a dresser, actually.
I'm so afraid of this story.
I know.
That's so creepy. And you live in that house.
Stop.
I'm serious. It's only funny because it didn't happen to me. Karma. Just like my stuff is funny to you because you don't have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I have no problem sleeping in my child's bed.
It's because you're evil.
I do not have to Mm-mm. sleep in my room. The guest bedroom
Mm-mm.
bed is more comfortable anyway. Yeah, that was not okay.
No. Oh, God. No. That gives me... Oh, my God. I know. We keep going off topic, but all of this is creepy, guys. All of it.
It was.
It all gives me the shivers. So that reminds me of this one... It was like, I don't remember what show I was watching. So anyway, the point being, the story was this lady and her daughter are driving down this road and it's kind of like a deserted road or whatever the hell, like long stretch. And they, as they're driving, they see a figure on the side of the road. And as they get closer, they see that someone is sitting on the side of the road. And as they get closer, they can tell that it's a girl sitting on the side of the road, like the same way, like sitting with her back to oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And she is holding her knees, like knees up to her chest, like hugging her knees. And as they get closer, the mom starts to slow down and the daughter's like, no, don't slow down. Don't stop. Don't stop. And the mom's like, no, let's just make sure she's okay. And when they get up close and she like stops or slows way the hell down, I don't know, the chick turns around and she like has no face. I know. I was like, what the hell? No. So they like peeled out and my memory is so good. I don't remember if they went back or somehow they find out that the chick had died.
I'm starting to feel really uncomfortable. I'm just having visions of my child with no face.
That's what it reminded me of when you told me that. It's so scary. I was like, no. And that you had the legit reaction of, I love you, but I'm so afraid of what you look like right now.
I know. I'm your mommy. Dang it. I have to turn you around. I have to get you out of here. Yeah,
that's what you created. You are so mega evil.
How wrong would it have been if I just left her in there?
I would not blame you. I wouldn't judge you. I'd be like, you did the right thing.
I would tell no one.
Save yourself. You could tell me.
I just don't know how she got in there. She is.
I don't either.
She is a great actress. So if she would have managed to sneak in there, it's possible she was hiding and just tried to pretend she was sleeping or something. But
no, but that you put her to explain. Bed.
Yes, there is no explanation for how she got there.
Mm-hmm. There isn't. And when you told me the story, I didn't know the house very well because you hadn't lived there very long.
Mm-hmm.
So after being back and being in the house like all the time,
mm-hmm.
now I'm like, there's no freaking way.
Nope.
Because when you first told me, I was like, there has to be a way. That's so dumb.
I'm serious. I'm pretty sure I looked for a secret door or something in the mm-hmm. closet after that. There isn't one, but that's the only explanation. Either that or she just moved through the walls.
Mm-hmm. Because even if you got down on the floor and low crawled all the way across the living room.
We could see you. Yes. It's bright.
We see you. Yes. Oh my God. That's so crazy.
Yeah. Not okay.
Oh my God. Oh my God. All right, let's get back to this because Oh my gosh.
I need some holy water somewhere.
I know. Huey, put that holy slobber on me. All right. So if you are having recurring nightmares, what the hell do? You got to get to the source. Figure out what's going on. Don't feed it after midnight. Don't be a gremlin. If you have some like life things you're dealing with or things that are going on, maybe you're trying to suppress it. Don't. Figure out what's up. Sometimes it is legitimately like you're just processing the stuff that's been going on. Mm-hmm. It just is. And sometimes, let's face it, life effing sucks. It just does.
I mean, maybe that's what the Rick Rape entity thing was. That's my biggest fear. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That felt really real.
So, I mean, you have to consider the source for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get down to it, is it medication? If it's something that you absolutely need, see if there's an alternate medication you can take or a lower dose, or maybe it needs to be a higher dose. I mean, I don't know. If it's, you know, illegal stuff, maybe lay off.
Yeah, not for you.
If it's alcohol, chill. Don't drink.
I did read something that seemed kind of contradictory, but it said nappers, if you nap often, you're more prone to nightmares. And really? Then also, if you don't have adequate sleep, you're prone to nightmares. So
what the hell do?
I don't know. Don't take a nap. Go to sleep at night.
Maybe you need to, you know. Can you guys hear that noise? That's you. It's scratching his ear.
Found an itchy spot.
Uh-huh. He's so yummy.
He is so cute.
Right?
He's got human eyes.
He has a human soul.
Human eyes. My husband has some really good nightmares, but I asked him too late about it. He was in the grocery store with the kids. He's like, no, I can't think of that right now. I can't.
I'm trying to wrangle children.
It's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. So in past episodes, we have, it's like the self-protection and the, I know there are other ones. I can't think of the titles right now, but we've talked about things like self-care. Mm-hmm. And you have to take care of yourself. Is this going to solve your problem? Crap, I don't know. But it's not going to make it worse. I know that. So you do, I know that this is true for everything. You have to take care of your body, your temple. Like you just have to. I just had this conversation earlier today with someone that is just going through it. And I said, listen here, you need to take care of yourself. You are of no good use to anybody, including yourself, if you are malnourished, if you're not sleeping, because then like all you're focused on is the negative. Mm-hmm. So all you're drawing to you is the negative. And this is going to make itself evident in your life, in your sleep, in your health, like everywhere, every aspect of everything. So you know what? Go for a walk. Get out in the sunshine. If you pray, start praying. Clear clutter. Clutter is another thing. Yeah. It's rough to get restful sleep and peaceful sleep when you have crap everywhere.
Amen to that. If my room is messy, I cannot sleep.
It's true.
My husband can sleep like a rock. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
I don't understand how it doesn't bother
him.
What
is it with these guys?
I don't know.
They sleep hard.
You ask him and he'll say he cares about more important things in life than whether or not some papers aren't filed or whatever.
It's crazy. And I mean, like, this stuff that we're talking about right now, it's not like when you have the random nightmare or whatever, like a rough night. It's not for that. It's when this is like ongoing. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Thank you, Huey, for shaking out. He's like, I'm going to reposition now. We're just staring at him. Oh, now he curled up like a chicken. Mm. There we go. Okay. Nice.
I guess he's done.
Okay. So in any event, like I was saying, so this is for the ongoing, like the recurring nightmares. So if this is going on, these are the things that you want to look at. So you want to get into, I think I said in at least one episode when I was doing Reiki and I started having a lot of activity in my house, and a lot of it happened at night when I was trying to sleep or when I was asleep and people were touching me and, you know, it was just creeping me out so bad. I was getting to a point where I was afraid to go to sleep. So I would just watch something on my iPad or watch TV until I just passed out. And what I started doing was getting into a sleep routine so that I could start conditioning myself to feel positive before going to sleep. And part of that included protecting my space. So I would smudge my room. I would light incense. I would light candles. I would do some of my Reiki symbols of protection over my room. And I would actually, you know, in my mind, as I was getting ready for bed, whatever the case, like I would encase my entire home in like white light and call in all my people. I was like, no, not today, evil. Not today. So it is super important to have these routines. And the older I get, the more I realize how important a routine is. There's this really cool app I just downloaded, and I haven't had a chance to play with it very much, but as soon as I do, I will make sure I tell you guys, because it is all about establishing those routines and things that are going to help you be more productive and feel more accomplished. And so, yes, they are pushing it hard, hard, but it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense building positive, healthy habits. So that's part of it. If you have a poor diet, if you are on the regular, you know, partaking in some, you know, recreational drugs, drinking too much, you got to lay off that stuff and, you know, heal your body. Totally. And, you know, going hand in hand with that, figure out why you are doing that. And some people just say, I just like it. And that might be true. But what else is going on? Are you mega bored? Are you trying to cover something up? Like, what is it? So all things to consider. Now, the sleep paralysis. So you talked about this earlier and I said, that's not a nightmare. So if you have not experienced sleep paralysis, this is what it's like. You are either falling asleep or coming out of sleep, and you're aware of your surroundings, but your body is paralyzed. You can't move. You can't talk. You can't, like, I mean, that is what it is. It's like an awake paralysis, and it is the creepiest crap. And I go through periods of time where it happens to me too much to feel comfortable. And I don't know that you can ever feel comfortable with sleep paralysis. I really don't. So, you know, in researching and prepping for this episode, I did a lot of reading on sleep paralysis and Jesus.
Do we need to call on Jesus for this?
I mean, Jesus, take the wheel, because it was just there. I mean, so many people, and this is what they say about sleep paralysis. You hallucinate. Mm-hmm. You're not actually in the presence of someone. You're not whatever. But damn near every person is like, no, someone was in the room with me. Someone was sitting on me. Someone. So these are some of the things you feel like you cannot move. There, you see someone else or you feel someone else close by. You feel or see something on you. You feel the weight of something on you. It is the creepiest crap ever, mm-hmm. ever. It is so mega creepy.
I read something that said our REM sleep starts at the back of your brain, where the beginning of your, where the top of your spinal cord meets the back of your brain. And when you start to fall asleep, that whatever.
Yeah, I think it's called the pons.
The pons.
Yeah. So it turns off. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to turn your muscles off so that you are not acting out your dreams. Mm-hmm. And so there is like a disconnect there with sleep paralysis where the pons is not responding the way it's supposed to, or it's not functioning the way it's supposed to. So when your body needs to be coming out of sleep and your muscles go back into movement, they are not. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
I read something also that
this just warrants deep breaths, because good Lord. You read what?
That if it doesn't, if the pons doesn't.
Why are you air quoting right now?
You just had to call me out, didn't you?
It is legit called the pons.
That was between us. It doesn't feel natural to say, so it deserved an air quote, okay?
I was like, that's what it's called. You're not using
the pons.
Right.
All I think of is the fawns. Anyway, the pons, no air quote. If it doesn't do its job and you dream about running, you could quite literally get up and start running.
Yes. Which I think is where sleepwalking comes from. I think.
It has
I
to.
I didn't read it.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Sleepwalking, but it does make sense, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway. So creepy, you guys. So if you haven't had that, then God bless you. If you have, then I'm mega sorry, because it is scary.
I feel like everybody has experienced a nightmare, but at some point has experienced sleep paralysis. I've heard a lot of stories like that. Mm-hmm. I wish we had a call-in thing.
I know.
It would be flooded right now with experiences.
I know. Because how, I don't want to say fun, but it is nice. Like, misery loves company.
For sure.
So I know for me there, I went through a long period of time where I would not sleep on my back, because that's when it happened for me, is when I was sleeping on my back. And it was the classic, I am well aware of what's going on in the room. I can tell you where everything is. And there is a definite sense of someone else being there. Mm-hmm. Someone mega negative, mega just doesn't belong. And like there was one time when I was asleep on the couch. It's like bright ass sunny outside, super sunny. And so, you know, obviously middle of the day, I'm asleep on the couch and I wake up, but I can't move. And I don't even remember if anybody was like, you know, outside of the dogs. I don't remember if anybody was home. But the way I was laying on the couch, I could look over to see the doorway of the game room. Like, I couldn't see into the game room, but I could see the door. And I knew that it was in there. Hmm. And I was so freaked out because I'm like, oh my God, it's going to come out here. It's going to come out here. It's going to come out here. And I couldn't move. I was like, I am screwed. I'm screwed because I can't get up. And I am in my head willing my body to move. And I'm like, oh my God, come on. And it's the most frustrating feeling when I'm trying to command my arm to move or my leg to move and nothing. It feels like it is, my body feels so weighed down. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, it was so scary. And then by the time something actually moves, I feel so exhausted, like just super defeated. I'm like, oh my God, finally. But I'm like, I'm done. I'm like super tapped.
The first time I ever heard anything about sleep paralysis, it wasn't described like that. It was our next door neighbor's dad that was talking to me and my brother and, you know, our friend that lived next door, saying that he warned us not to do something or in the middle of the night, the witch will ride your back. And I'm like, what?
It's not super.
It was some backwoods country mess. But he said,
sounds really dirty.
Only you. But anyway, that's what he said. The witch will hold you down and ride your back or something like that. It does sound dirty now. I can't continue. Shoot, I lost my thought. There was something else unrelated, but related.
Outside of that dream you told me, have you had sleep paralysis?
Yeah, I've had several dreams, and it's always that I'm trying to defend myself and fight, and I can't. Or I'm trying to walk toward the danger or whatever to protect myself, because obviously I don't have a chance to run, or I feel like that would be my first choice.
So that's a nightmare. That's not sleep paralysis.
Yeah, that is a nightmare, huh? Mm-hmm. I don't think aside from the one where I was laying on my couch and, you know, I saw my grandmother, there was one other where I was pregnant with my son and I wasn't afraid. It didn't feel like a scary thing. And I felt like something just laid on top of me. And at first I was a little bit alarmed, but I don't know what inside told me that I shouldn't be afraid, and I wasn't. And then it felt like, have you ever been too close to, I don't know, some kind of airplane or an airport, and you feel the vibration when that's what I felt all over my body. Whatever was on top of me, like, vibrated on top of my body and then floated away. It was strange. I don't know what that was.
That's crazy.
But it happened. And I wasn't afraid, but I was aware of what was happening, and I didn't move. Maybe I was just really scared. Hmm. Scared still.
Interesting.
But I was in bed to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Which is when sleep paralysis happens. Mm-hmm. You're going into or coming out of. I was going to say earlier, and I lost my train of thought because of you, dum-dum.
Mm, you're welcome.
So I was talking about our grandmother being Jehovah's Witness and her saying, you know, fear the living, not the dead, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, when you die, you die. Not long after she had passed away, I had this dream. We were at my mom's house, and I don't remember who else was there, but I know Andrew and I were there. I know the house is like full of people, but I don't remember them being right there with us. So we were like, you know, that middle room where Mama's dining room table is.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you can see the staircase right there. So you know what I mean?
Oh, like all of, yeah. At your mom's house?
Yeah.
Okay.
That yes. whole middle area. So in the dream, like that table wasn't there, which it wasn't always there. And I don't even remember if it was right there, like immediately after she passed away, because that's my grandma's table that I'm talking about. Anyway, my point being, so in my dream, Andrew and I are standing kind of like at the foot of the stairs or like in that middle room. And she, my grandmother, is in the room with us. And she's trying to tell Andrew, like trying to get Andrew to come to her. And he is wanting to go to her. And I'm saying, no, Andrew, don't go. Don't go. And so I'm like, come on, Andrew, let's go. And so we start to go up the stairs. And she's saying, Andrew, come here. You know, just trying to coax him to her. And he is wanting to go. And I'm like, no, it's not her. Don't trust her. That's not who you think it is. And in my head, I'm like, that is a demon. That's not her. That's a demon. It's a demon.
You told me about this.
Oh my God. It scared me so much. Like I woke up freaked the F out. Mm-hmm. Super freaked.
That is creepy.
There was this other dream I remember. And this dream, like, it jacked me up so badly. So you guys know my dragons mean the world to me, like the world. And way back in the day, it used to be just Honey.
Mm-hmm.
And Honey was my first. And I mean, like from the jump, this dog, like she was my world, my mega world. And I had this nightmare. And you know what? The nightmares that are the creepiest to me are the ones that are like in your house.
Mm.
Like everything is exactly the same. You know, sometimes you have a dream and you're like, oh, it was my house, but it wasn't my house.
Yeah.
No. So this one was in my house, the same setup, everything. It was like it was actually happening. So it was that last apartment I lived in San Diego. Do you remember that one? You came to it.
Mm-hmm.
So in my nightmare, I'm in my room, like I'm in bed and it's the middle of the night. And Honey's asleep with me in the bed, like Sean was sleeping next to me. And I wake up because I hear a noise or something. And when I wake up and open my eyes, the bedroom door is open and I can see down the hall, all the way down the hall, at the end of the hall is the main living area. There's a light on and it's a light in the living room. And I can see part of the couch, the way it was positioned. And I know that there is a nasty demon in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sit up in the bed and Honey jumps off the bed and she's little, like a little puppy. She jumps off the bed and she starts to run toward the living room and I start calling her and she's not listening. And I am calling her and calling her and I am panicked and I can feel my heart racing so hard, like beating so hard in my chest. And I am in a panic because I'm like, if this thing gets her, it's not going to give her back because it knows what she means to me.
Aww.
And so she runs into the living room and I can't see her and I'm yelling for her. And then I can see this figure and it's holding her and it won't let her go. And I am like screaming and crying and it's like,
I have chills.
Yeah. Beyond that, like, I don't super remember if it let her go or, but it was like taunting me. And it was so real, this dream, so real. And when I woke up, it was one of those times, like, you know, in a scary movie when someone wakes up and they sit straight up in the bed.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And never, ever have I woken someone up because I've been so afraid from a dream. And that night I woke Sean up and I was like, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
So he woke up and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I just had this dream, whatever. So he's like, I'm going to go check the house. And I was like, no, don't leave me. Like, I was so freaked out. And he's like, no, just, you know, sometimes dreams, they could be, you know, telling of something that's going on. And he always supported like whatever and was super supportive of, you know, the family history. And
mm-hmm.
for him, he was like, if you believe it, I believe it. It's fine. Whatevs. So he went and checked everything. The house was fine. But oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I am telling you, it was probably a week before I was able to sleep well, like just go to sleep without being afraid.
Hmm.
That dream impacted me so badly because it was one of those demonic ones.
Yeah. Lock that game room up.
No, this wasn't pre-game room. Remember, it was
Oh, this is the apartment.
Yeah,
sorry.
This is the apartment.
On Zapata?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that place.
So creepy. Oh my God. So creepy. So yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. When it is your actual home, your space, your safe haven. Ooh.
I haven't had one of those in my house.
Ever?
No, the only real one that's sticking out, as soon as I leave, I'll remember everything, but the only one that's sticking out was the Rick Rape entity, and that was at Theodora's house. We were sitting at her table, and it was that back door where the dining room is.
Mm-hmm.
That swung open. Mm-hmm. But on the outside of the back door wasn't a deck, it wasn't her backyard, it was a city. And wind howling on a dark and stormy night.
Yeah, when it's my house, it scares me. Oh, I had one too where, and this was another one. It was in the last house I lived in. I was asleep on the couch and I was laying on the couch so that I was facing toward the front door. And the way the couch was positioned and where I was laying, I was actually facing the front door.
Hmm.
And in my dream, I mean, there was all kinds of stuff that happened in the dream, but there was one part of the dream where someone came to the door and I could see there was a curtain up on the door to, you know, block the window, because otherwise you could just see into the house. And in the dream, everything was exactly as it actually was. Someone came up, I could see the silhouette on the other side of the door and the knob was turning. They were trying to get in. And I don't remember if I heard the voice audibly or if I just knew that it was supposed to be our grandmother and she was standing on the other side and she's trying to get in. And I want to say she said something like, open the door, let me in or something. And I was like, no, that you're not who you say you are. And I was so creeped out and I'm like, why, what the heck? Like, I remember that.
That's twice. Lucky you can recognize when it's not her.
Well, I don't know if it's just, I don't know if, I wonder sometimes, like, if you were to follow the dream all the way through, if it would actually end up being something different than what it appears to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I say go with your gut.
Yeah. No. I was super creeped out. I was like, there's no way. You're who you say you are. And I want to say, like, I wrote that down somewhere. It's probably in here in my OneNote.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do make notes of my dreams. Mm-hmm. But they're never the scary ones. I like to forget those.
No, I used to be really good about it for a while there. Yeah. I don't like when it's like your actual setting. It freaks me out.
It's not okay.
Mm-mm. No, it's not okay. It is not okay. So, good Lord, sleep paralysis nightmares. I mean, and you guys, we did say, we're just going to briefly like go into this because these are like everything else, every topic, like you could go on and on forever. So I do want to hit these at another point and go a little bit deeper, but just over the basics, like some of the symptoms, you know, we talked about that, the treatments. You want to see if you can figure out what the root cause is, because that's really going to help you to overcome it. If you don't know, start working on different things, like try different things and try not eating late, try to get regular sleep, try clearing clutter if you have clutter, try rearranging your furniture. I mean, there's something to feng shui. I really do believe that. So check it out. I mean, I'm not saying go buy new furniture, but maybe, you know, the way you have it positioned is not the best for you.
Feng shui is a real thing.
Mm-hmm. So just different things to try. And, you know, if you guys have questions or suggestions, make sure you send them because we want to know. And then we'll include it in the next episode, the next time we talk about this stuff, because, yes, this is the good stuff. It just makes me happy. So we do have a few stories to tell, other people's stories, because we've told some of our own, and good Lord. So here's one that I have. One night, I woke up to what I thought was the sound of footsteps in my hallway. Already know. Mm-mm. Listen, if I know everyone's ass is asleep, and I suddenly hear footsteps, what the hell?
I'm waking my husband up.
Yeah.
And he probably already has a weapon.
I bet it's one of your creepy kids.
Shush.
Oh, gosh. All right. I was laying on my back, which immediately made me confused and a bit nervous because I never sleep on my back. I tried to turn my head to see where the sound was coming from, but I couldn't move at all. The panic set in and I heard the source of the footsteps come into my room. Now, although I could not see the figure, I knew it was a home invader. I could feel him standing on the opposite side of my bed, silently staring down on me. He had some sort of weapon in his right hand. I believe it was a knife.
Oh my God.
I swear my heart has never dropped and raced like that in my entire life. I kept trying and trying to move or scream, but I was frozen in place. It felt like hours.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I did read somewhere where it said, if you are in sleep paralysis, try talking yourself out of it. Don't panic. Don't panic. It's almost over. I was like, listen, when I'm freaked out like that, do you think I'm going to try to talk myself off the ledge? I'd be like, what the hell is that?
No, ma'am.
Yeah.
You won't be able to think rationally.
No. Okay, here's another one. I heard footsteps coming up the stairs of the attic, which ends up right beside my bed. Listen, now you're talking attics. No, attics and basements, they freak me out.
Agree. I won't go in our attic.
I mean, our attic is in the garage.
It's just ours too, but it's just small and hot in there. I don't want to get in there. Okay. Sometimes I do hear stuff, and it's going to sound weird, but in several houses I've heard stuff in the attic, and I just wonder if there's a little person living up there.
Or a squirrel hole.
Like a squatter. Yeah.
A tiny squatter?
Like how? A tiny squatter, yeah.
You putting Peabody up there? That's how she's closet floats. Her friends.
She's got a chute from
the... Yeah, she closet floats through the attic.
Oh my gosh. I just wondered if there's an attic access in my closet. I'm going to go look, and listen, if there is, I'm moving.
No, you need to, because that's creepy.
It is.
No. Okay, listen. I heard footsteps coming up the stairs of the attic, which ends up right beside my bed. I already read that, but I'm going to start again because you side-railed us.
Sorry.
I couldn't see anyone coming up, though. Suddenly, I realized I saw something in the corner of my peripheral vision, and I could hear it breathing. No. Listen, I'm almost out right now. Mm-hmm. This isn't working for me. When I slowly rolled my eyes to the side, I saw the small head of a white-faced troll grinning and staring at me. I know. What the
heck?
I'd have been like, just take me. I'm tired. I can't anymore. I panicked, and suddenly all the phones in the house started ringing. This ringing sound built and built louder and louder. It scared me, and I knew for sure that I had permanent tinnitus. After the short moment, which felt like a really long time, I had enough strength to locate and lift my arm. This immediately stopped all the hallucinations, and I woke up without tinnitus. That was kind of funny. Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's sorry, creepy. But I don't know what tinnitus is.
It's the ringing in the ear.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I do know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
This is... Okay, here's another one. My mind woke up and my entire body, including my face, was under the covers and unable to move. I couldn't see a thing. I worried for a brief moment when I discovered I couldn't move at all. Then things got scarier. I felt an enormous amount of pressure on my chest. I had the feeling as though this spirit, or whatever it was, had its face only inches away from my own. If this wasn't enough, I heard inaudible whispers in both ears and pounding on the wall adjacent to the bed.
Oh my God.
I began to cry because that's all I could physically do, and in my mind I was screaming as loud as I could, but nothing came out. I began to struggle, but I finally burst awake, sat up immediately, still crying. The room was silent.
It's just mean. Why?
It is mean. Oh my God. Okay. Back when I was hooked on this mystery drug, I was playing way too much while neglecting my sleep. One evening, I went to bed stressed. I then spent a while tossing and turning in bed. Upon turning to my right, I was face to face with the dead body of an old man. He had some kind of scaled reptilian skin. After around 5 seconds, which felt much longer, he started to vanish. Then I could feel some kind of omnipresence outside. It was super early in the morning, so it was turning light. However, the sky and natural light began to dim rapidly as his presence was making its way to my room. I could feel it growing and growing as the window went pitch black. The pure evil darkness began to seep into my room. Is he talking about you?
I was there.
So I jumped up and got the hell out of there, splashed cold water all over my face to stop all of this onslaught. Stop the drugs, sir. Stop the drugs.
Do totally a hallucination.
Oh my God. All right. I was lying in bed at night when I realized my body was rigidly locked in place. It was uncomfortable. I tried moving around, and then my body started rising off the bed, just a few inches. A terrifying sensation that woke me up. Such a relief. It was just a weird dream. Suddenly, I was rigid again, and there was an eerie green glow outside my window, and then I woke up. Oh my God, that was disturbing. I'd somehow been dreaming again with no recollection of having fallen back asleep. Suddenly, I was even more rigidly locked up than before, floating so far off the bed I was almost at the ceiling, and the eerie green glow was brighter than before. I panicked and woke up. This time I was actually awake. Sleep paralysis within sleep paralysis within sleep paralysis. Dreaming of being exactly where I was in my own bed at night within the same dream.
Hmm.
Within the same dream. See?
That's interesting.
Oh. Do you have any good stories?
Not as good as yours. I mean, I have one. Let's find her. My roommate has had terrible nightmares since she was about 12 years old. Even as an adult, she has woken me up on multiple occasions because she just needs to be with a real person after some of these episodes. Her worst nightmares are ones where she thinks she has woken up, but really is still dreaming. As a teenager living with her parents, she once dreamed that she woke up in the middle of the night. She noticed the hallway light was on from beneath the doorway. She also noticed a pair of feet facing perpendicular to the doorway.
Nope. 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 All the nopes.
Seriously. Slowly, she crawled over and looked under the door. She saw a naked young boy just staring down the hall. She woke up, thankfully, and rolled over toward the corner between the bed and the wall. Then she saw that he was sitting on her bed.
No, no.
Then she woke up for real.
Oh, sleep paralysis within sleep paralysis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not okay.
Here's another one. It happened when I was about 12 years old and I was obsessed with Justin Bieber. So much that I had a poster of him next to my bed.
First mistake.
You don't like the Biebs?
Not 12-year-old Justin Bieber.
No, she was 12.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At the time, I fell asleep, sleeping sideways on my bed so that I was facing my mirror and I could see the poster next to me. I woke up not being able to move, and instead of seeing my Justin Bieber poster, I saw a mangled, decaying man sitting on the edge of my bed staring at me. I was so scared, and all I could do was close my eyes and hope that it went away. I took the poster down after that night.
Yeah.
That is super creepy. Oh my God. I don't think I care for that one.
Especially as a kid.
I know, right?
That stays with you.
Gosh, I feel like, no, I thought I had a dream like that, but I don't know. I have to think about it. Okay, here's another one. This one's about sleep paralysis also. The first time it happened to me was when I went for a nap during the day. I was lying on my side facing away from my door when I woke up to the sound of my door closing. I tried to turn around to see who had come into my room, but I couldn't move. My eyes were wide with terror. I could see everything in my room. I heard this thing walk around my room. Then it sat on the bed and I could feel the bed dip from its weight. Oh my God. It then shuffled toward me and it felt like it began to spoon me. It was extremely tall. What? Oh, the F-bombs I want to drop right now.
No.
Oh my God.
No.
And
no.
I have legit like a picture of you right here. That is for real.
What?
The Annabelle doll.
Oh, shut your face.
Oh my God, this one's really creepy. I was trying to move so hard, but I was just lying still. The thing started breathing on my neck and tickling my back. It then stood up and left after a few minutes. This was the most terrifying thing that has ever happened to me.
That was Rick Rape. He would do some shit like stuff like that.
Oh my God.
Oh, that was a creepy one. I don't like it.
Okay, here's another one. Once I fell asleep on the couch watching some detective show, I woke up and sat up and I was completely out of my body. I kept trying to lay down back into my body and wake myself up, but I just slept. I stood up and looked out of the back door and it was completely dark. Then I went to the opposite side of the room and looked out of the front window and it was bright and sunny and there was a little old lady sitting under a tree by the lake. I was like, WTF? Why the face? I spent the next 10 minutes laying down, then sitting back up, trying to attach myself back to my body and shake myself awake. I thought, if I don't get back in, My body would die and my soul would wander. I don't want to live in my living room. Oh my God. My worst experience with sleep paralysis was after I'd been up all night doing an essay. When I finished, I immediately dozed off. That's Hennessy at the door.
Oh.
The next thing I knew, I thought I had completely woken up, except there was a shadow demon looming over the end of the bed. It didn't have a face, but I could feel it staring at me, and it felt like pure evil. I tried with my whole body to scream, but nothing came out, which only made me panic more. I felt like the demon was about to attack me. Then his head twitched to the side, and he pounced on my chest, sort of thrashing at me. I felt like it was suffocating me. I tried to close my eyes again and put all of my energy into trying to wake up and move my body, the whole time with the demon hallucination still attacking me. When I was finally fully awake, I lay in bed for about half an hour, shaking and next to tears. It was probably the scariest thing I've ever experienced. I thought it was just a really vivid nightmare until a few months later when I first read about sleep paralysis.
Jeez.
Good Lord.
Okay, I have one. This is actually titled The Old Hag. I am 42 and first had a nightmare about a terrifying... Okay, this is a nightmare. I'm gonna share it anyway. I'm 42 and first had a nightmare about a terrifying witch at the age of 16. She kneels on my chest and stares into my face.
Wait. She had this dream when she was 16, or the witch is 16 years old?
She was 16. She's telling the story at our current age of 42. She kneels on my chest and stares into my face, slowly getting nearer and nearer. I'm completely terrified. She wears a black cloak and hood. Her face is like a witch, and evil radiates from her, surrounds me from her. Other times I can be laying on my stomach and she will creep her hand up the back of my head, down my face, and hook her fingers under my top teeth and pull my head back. Other times she will bite, sit on the bed, knock on the door, call my name, and generally scare the crap out of me. What a bee. That's the end.
That was dumb.
Sorry.
Okay, here's another one. I'd woken up in my dorm room. It was a stormy night around 4 a.m. and still quite dark, though there was a yellowish-orange light from a street lamp outside. The window at the foot of the bed had been left cracked open and was banging in the wind. I got up to shut it and stumbled back to my bed, lying on my right side facing the wall with my eyes closed. It began with tactile hallucinations. I felt as if a pair of slightly clammy hands with thick fingers were gently stroking my face, in particular my lips, eyes, and ears, and prodding at my mouth. Eventually, this feeling gave way to prickling pins and needles all over my body, and I felt very cold and buzzing as if I were electrified or covered in static shocks. At the same time, a heavy ringing began in my ears, very loud and in an even tone. It was at this point I got the sensation that there was someone else in the room very close to me. I was able to open my eyes, and I felt this weight pressing down on the left side of my ribs and shoulder. The light from the street was blocked by shadow, and I realized the shadow had a solid form, a squat creature with cat-like features and claws, though humanoid and compact. It was about 3 or 4 feet tall, sitting on top of me. It had pointed ears and pale yellow eyes with no pupils. I couldn't distinguish its face beyond the outline and its glowing eyes. I knew it was a demonic force of some sort, and I tried to scream. I felt the air leaving my throat, but only heard a faint whimper. I don't know how long this lasted, but eventually the apparition was gone and I was able to move. I got up and turned on my bedside light and sat up until dawn. Yes, that is a very, very respectable response.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. I'd be like, no, we are watching Powerpuff Girls or...
All the happiest...
Friends.
Things.
Yes. No, because no.
There's no going back to sleep after that.
No. Even after some of my dreams, I told you I'm afraid to go back to sleep because I'm fearful that I'll go right back into the dream. No. That's a hard pass. I respect what he or she did. I do. All right. I think I'm out of stories. I think we're good.
Mine just aren't very good, so I'm not going to share.
Yeah.
For fear of getting shot down.
Nothing you do is very good, so.
See? I didn't even have to share a bad story. I learned my evil from somewhere.
All right, you guys. Well, that is all we have tonight for this episode of The Media Matters, bringing you all the juicy with the nightmares and the sleep paralysis. And again, this is like the third time I said it, but I'm going to say it again. This is just like the super top surface. If you guys have specifics that you want us to cover, let us know and we will happily cover them. And we will definitely do another episode in the future about nightmares and super, super creepy sleep disorders and all the goosebumps. All the goosebumps.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And if there are topics that you guys want to hear about, make sure you let us know at themediummatters@gmail.com or on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and, you know, yet to be invented social media. You can always find the show. So I am trying to connect with you guys as quickly as I can and answer your messages. And if I haven't gotten to you, please don't be mad. I'm getting to you, I promise. And I think I said this in another episode, or maybe this is the first time I'm saying, I don't know, but there are some messages like Messenger. There are messages I just found that are like, I mean, they are old as hell.
Aw.
Yes. And it's did you notice that Apple started, I mean, they started this a little while back, but when there's like an update or something, they will, it doesn't like uninstall your apps, like take them off your phone, but it's like they go dormant. So you have to reinstall them.
Yeah, I did notice that. I didn't know why that was happening.
So that happened with my Messenger app and I didn't realize it. So I just, and I think it's like somebody had sent me an email or something and said, oh yeah, I sent you something in Messenger. It was something like that. And I went to go check Messenger because I'm like, there's no notification on there. And it had the little cloud, like it needed to be installed. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh crap. So I had so many messages in there. And so as I get to them, I am apologizing profusely. So I'm so sorry, guys. And then I found some in like a folder, a hidden folder or something. Even more messages. I was like, the heck?
I hid that folder.
You're a witch.
It's because I thought you were ignoring me on Messenger.
You're a witch. So I am working to get back to you guys as quickly as possible. I super appreciate that you guys take the time to reach out and make contact with us and share your stories and ask your questions and tell us how much you appreciate what we're doing. And trust me, that pales in comparison to how much we appreciate you guys listening because we love you. So with that, you guys, we are out for the night. We will be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. We super duper love you. Thank you for hanging with us.
And sleep well.
Yeah, good luck. Turn out the lights. All right. Good night, you guys. We love you.
Bye.